A piece in Likutei Halachos from Hilchos Ton V'Nitan, someone who claims and then gives back, okay, who's claiming, that guy's being claimed for, let's say, a thing that was stolen. So this is actually related to what we were learning last time, because it talks about Lo Tachmod. It's also related to Shavuos, because one of the commandments is Lo Tachmod, not to desire someone else's stuff. Okay, so over here, it's not the longest piece. We're probably going to have time to do other stuff. So just going to go into it. So it's like this. It's based off Likutei Moran, chapter 5 in Tinyana. Everyone learned that? And are familiar with that Torah? It talks about how to heal yourself through herbs. It says that the only way to heal yourself through medicine and herbs, it's only going to work if you have emuna, because the rain only comes down when there's emuna. Because when you have emuna, the rain comes down, and you could grow the different herbs, but you have to be an expert at herbs in order to know how to heal yourself. You take it when it's growth this much from this place and that place mixed together. You have to be an expert. But basically, through the bitachon, if a person can heal himself fully, okay, and basically explains that this is the four elements of the person's soul, which is the earth, air, fire, and water, which each one represents a different type of energy, and everyone has a different balance of that in their soul. So to come to health, it's basically when you come back to balance of those things. There's a whole long Torah. It's probably one of the hardest Torahs in the whole Sefer. So this is based off that. Okay, so...
Right, and where is that Torah written?
It's in Likutei Moran, 2nd Chelek, chapter 5. But this is based off that. Likutei Halachos, Ton, V'Nitan, Gimel. This is related to what we did yesterday, so I wanted to learn it. We don't have any here. Ita Sham. It says over there, so, in the middle of the Torah, it talks about the greatness. We spoke about this a few times. You have a ben and you have an eved. A ben is someone who's the son of the king, so he's able to go into the treasures and understand the deep stuff. And the servant, he just does the will of the king, and he just happily does it, and whatever the king says, he does it without thinking about it. So it talks about when an eved. So you can only reach a certain level of understanding. At a certain level, it's beyond what he could reach. But for him to go beyond that level, he has to turn himself into an Eved. So when he says, I'm ready to do whatever it takes, I'm throwing away all my chokmas, meaning he understands, learning Torah draws down, Orin Sof through chokmah. This mitzvah does this, this mitzvah does that. And he wants to tell all the mitzvahs, so all of a sudden, once you know those things, it's easy to start calculating the mitzvahs. And you basically start making what's more important, what's least important, what's going to bring you to more dvekus, what's going to bring you to least. And you start making a whole list in your mind, and you make priorities of what mitzvah is more important based on your understanding. That's a big mistake that you fall into.
Really?
Yes, for sure.
What's when you shouldn't judge one mitzvah for another.
You don't know the reward. You don't know how big a mitzvah is.
Right.
So therefore, even the smallest mitzvah, putting your right shoe on first and tying your left first. It might be such a big mitzvah, you don't know. So maybe it's not so important to you because it's like a small little thing, but that's a mistaken thought.
Go with averus, you can or no?
Yes or no, you don't know the full effect of some averus. That's where it says if the Torah was written in order, then we would know each problem we have, which avera caused it. But since it's not written in order, we don't know what it is. You can't really know.
We're spending so much time deciding something as deraisa, derabbanan. We are making.
That's in order to fulfill God's will properly.
Isn't that what a mitzvah is?
Yeah, but we're not saying what's more important. We're not saying this. We're not saying. Listen, in my mind, bishul's a problem, but hatmana is not a problem. So therefore, I don't care really about hatmana. That's a huge problem.
No, but we're saying, what am I going to give all my energy into? That is prioritizing.
To learn the Torah, but a person, in the end of the day, you have to act with tumas. Meaning after, so what's the point after you learn all these things and you know all the depths of the Torah and the hidden wisdoms of the Torah? So then it says this is in Ton V'Nitan Gimel. It's in Choshen Mishpat Ton V'Nitan Gimel. Ton V'Nitan Gimel.
The claims tainat.
Yeah, to claim, like you go to court, you say this guy owes me, he stole my thing.
And one of the parties denying.
Yeah, well, there's many different cases. Let's say he denied it or denied part of it. There's different.
He swear falsely.
There's different types of oaths he has to do that depending on what he claimed, what he didn't claim.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's actually a very big thing. It's actually the hardest thing, especially in this generation, is to throw away your chokhmahs. To say, even though we understand, because now we have all the Torah, a lot of the Torah revealed to us. Look at all this, even within halacha, within Pnimis Torah, you have tons of svarim. So you could go really deep into it and get really great understanding. But then, after all that, it's still a person has to throw away all his chokhmas. It's a very hard thing to do, but it's the most necessary thing to do. Because at the end of the day, serving Hashem with tefillah is the most important thing. Because you really don't understand it. And if you think you do, you don't really. You have some level of understanding, but if you start using that as the what's going to lead you forward, then you're going to fall, basically. Okay, so, Kizin Nasel Yadei Tikkun HaMishpat. This comes through Tikkun HaMishpat. So Tikkun HaMishpat is basically something when a person can't make proper judgment. Okay, that's called Kilkul HaMishpat. And basically, when a person, one of the reasons is because of your calculations, it stops you from judging properly. So when you throw away all the chokhmas and you get the tzpimus, so it says in that Torah over there that the ben, the son who throws away his chokhmas, and he says, God, I'm ready to roll dirt for you, I'm ready to do this, whatever you want, just tell me what you want, I'm going to do it. Then new channels that he didn't understand start opening up to him. And he says he could even understand things Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. And one of those things is why a person who's a tzaddik has seemingly bad in his life, and why a seemingly person that is bad has good in his life. He's able to understand that question, and it says even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand that, because he asked Hashem, why did you do bad to this nation? So it says when a person throws away those chokhmas, and then he's zochei to have some levels of understanding beyond those levels, so he can actually understand why good happens to bad, how bad happens to good.
You're saying bad to this nation, meaning the Jewish people?
Yeah, and then in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, why are you doing bad to this nation?
Oh,
when they're in Egypt, they're like enslaved. They're slaves in Egypt. Moshe could understand why you're doing bad to these. Why did they deserve that?
Specifically, when Pharaoh did the work.
Right, right.
After he said to the Pharaoh to
work harder.
It got worse.
Now it's getting worse. Why do you do this, God? So a person can understand that when he throws away the chokhmas, you can start getting grasp of these higher things. And it says, Tehom el Tehom Kore, Abia Mimecha, Abba Mimecha, which is Mishpat, Vigdal, Kama Mishpat. So, Hainu Shah Mishpat, Shanafal al Tehom, the Mishpat that fell into the abyss. And it says, Mishpatecha Tehom Rabba, Kimalina Mishpat, Mina Tehom Alidei Tmimus. So you're able to take the Mishpat and raise it up through Tmimus. Tmimus is the key to raise up Mishpat. Okay, and then you. So a person, when he throws away his chokhmas, which is tmimus, then the mishpat could now elevate from the abyss and come up, and you're able to understand mishpat, meaning judgment, the way Hashem judges things. You're able to understand it in a deeper way. When you have tmimus, but it sounds opposite, counterintuitive. You want to understand mishpat to go deep into all sugyas and figure out, no, that's not the way to do it. That's not going to give you the answer, because you're going to see all the sugyas are actually contradicting each other. And you can't come to it, so like that one thing says like this, then something else like that, something like that. So you try to figure out the general rule for this Indian, and you're like, there's no general rule. Okay. And you can find patterns in certain things, you can understand certain principles brought down on this farm, but when you really want to get it, you have to throw away the chokhmas.
Are you saying you have to go to like the spirit of the law and come down instead of starting with trying to figure out all that, the details?
No, I mean, it means in your service of Hashem, you can't be calculative. You have to be completely wholesome. Like as if you don't know anything.
That's above.
After you learn it. It doesn't mean never learn it, because it's talking about a Ben, someone who knows all the secrets, and he goes, I don't know anything, I'm ready to do whatever you want from me, God. And then he just does that. He acts in a way that's tremendous. And even the things that he understands in his brain, he only understands them. Not because he's trying to always obsessively figure out stuff, because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. It's like a different experience. And then it's a mitzvah to do bir on halacha. It's a mitzvah to understand the secrets of the Torah. But his whole being is in a state of tmimus, which means he's simcha. He doesn't ask questions on his life that he can't understand. He just accepts everything wholesomely. And he also has netzach, which means he's able to have victory. And also he's not bucky in ramaus. He's not an expert in being tricky. That's what, like an expert in being tricky. That's what Rashi says on one of the times where it says, when it says Tom, it's because it says Esav, he was really good at sales and stuff, convincing people, tricking people, persuasion. And Yaakov, I can't do the persuasion. Can't do it. That's not a tremendous thing to be persuasive. What?
Israelis are very persuasive.
Could be learned from the ways of the Esav throughout the years.
But occasionally, he does use trickery. occasion.
Yaakov?
Yeah. Right, he himself took
it. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Because what? Because he put Esav's clothes on?
Yeah,
yeah, so there is a...
Well, actually...
Yeah, he did it. He's doing what his mother told him.
He didn't think of that.
It was Rachel that told him to do that, so it was Kivut
Em. No, sorry, Rivka.
Yeah, and also the second thing is that it explains the reason why he was able to lie in that case, because he did... According to the Pshat, he lied. Rashi explains it wasn't a real lie, but according to the Pshat, he pretended to be Esav. Okay, so how did he do that if he's Yaakov, Ishtam, Ish Emes? So the answer is, since he wore the clothes of Esav, he was able to lie. Mm. I mean, if he wore his clothes, he wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah, he's himself.
I thought they were Adam's clothes.
Yeah, but they were still the clothes of Esav.
No, but then Nimrod took it, and then it was Machnes, wore the Sitra Achra into it, and then Esav was the Chazik that, and through Yaakov wearing those clothes, he was Mamtik the Gvura into the clothes, and he was Mekabel, and he was able to Mekabel the Midah of Gvura in his Nefesh, because he was originally he was complete Chesed.
Good answer, wow.
And he didn't have any Gvura, but only after he was Misyachid with this Midah of Gvura, and was Mamtik it, he got Tiferet.
Wow. Where's that from?
Huh?
So
where's that from?
That's from Shem Yishmu, I think.
Really? Wow, that's a big answer.
That's cool.
That's a really good answer.
What it says, Tehillim, what's that, the
classic
where somebody's tricky, you act tricky back?
Yeah.
You have to be smart.
Yeah.
You just can't let a Rasha run all over you because you know that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You
have to know when. Yeah, it doesn't mean to be foolish. It just means to be wholehearted. So that's how you elevate the mishpat, is by having tumas. Okay, and that's what it means. Motziin mi Rabbi Natan sheish koch ba mishpat ekdusha shel beit din tzedek. So this is talking about the halachas of ton venitan. Someone claims something against someone else, so the beit din has to hear the claims. They have to make a judgment on it. So when they make a judgment on it, they're also doing a tikkun of the mishpat. They're fixing the mishpat. La'alot the mishpat be'imke tohama, to elevate the mishpat from the depths of the abyss. B'chinat tohama el tohom koreh, which is taken. Shemotzein mizeven otzei, they take from one person and give to the other person. They make the proper judgment. Okay, you claim the 100 and you said 50. Now you gotta give 50 and swear on the rest. Shvot hesed, for example. So they've enforced the law, so they're elevating the mishpat now. They're enforcing the mishpat in the situation.
What happens when you have a corrupt basin?
That's a whole different. That's even. That's, you can't. Yeah. It's messed up.
Oh, system's messed up. Then.
System's messed up. What?
Done.
Ki yesh koch lebeit din shehu mishpat hakedusha la'alot mishpat bekol makom shenafal lesham mitom terum. The beit din have ability to bring. To bring the mishpat of kedusha, to elevate it from the tehom that it fell in. That's what you know. The beit din have very big powers, telling you when the new month is. Even if they made a mistake, you still got to do it. Different things like that. Okay. They made Hashem's will. Yeah.
Even if they made a mistake, it was one time.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
The 32-day month.
What a psak. Always did. I always wanted
30.
Since I was two, I wanted that. What do you say?
Can't someone just manipulate that system? Meaning that, yeah, it's a mistake and you have to do it, but someone, you know, it could be like, you know, Billam
tricking
the scene, like, I'm going to trick them to make them think of this, and it's really going to bring them down.
So we learned about this a long time ago. There's, you have many different psakim, and every question you have, you could have, as you saw, let's stirring the thing of every possibility, basically. Every possibility of psakim. So how do you know what's the right one? So certain questions you have even beyond that, you have one question, you could have one rabbi that's going to tell you it's a mitzvah, one rabbi tell you it's a vera, with the same question. So what's going on? So there's a certain range, that in that range it's the range of kedusha, and there's certain psak that could be outside of the range of kedusha, and the way to know is basically what's the dot of the tzaddik. Like if a tzaddik would pass in the shaila, he would only go in a certain range, and that's where a person wants to be in that range, not to be outside of the range. You know, you can find a heter for this, heter for that, but you don't want to be outside of the range of the dot of the true tzaddikim.
So, what was the story with the Meraglim? They're all tzaddikim. They had a das that was completely hateful from Moshe. They're still called tzaddikim.
Yeah, and no, but they switched what Moshe said. They switched the order of the mission. So they put their own mind into it too much. They didn't have tumas.
You can't go against Nasi Hador.
You have to have tremus with
faith in the Nasi.
Yeah, what they're saying at tremus and what they're saying, and let's do it fully without so many cheshbons. Okay, so now zeh b'chinat masha beitin notin shtar lemalve b'tchilat agviya sheilech v'yichapesh b'kol makom shimitza nichse halove sheyotzim la'atzmo. So if you have a case where someone lends someone money and he didn't pay him back, so then they go to, he takes him to beitin, he said never pay me back, so they give him a shtar to the lender, okay, he gives him the shtar. And it's called the shtar, okay? When he's able to go and find the properties of the one who borrowed, the borrower, and he's able to go and claim the properties because he owes him such and such money, so you go and claim his properties.
It's called a lien.
A what?
Lien.
A lien? A lien, yeah, a lien. That's what it's called in English, yeah. A lien. And you can't pay back a thing, so you have something to rely on, which property, or which is any type of property, okay? This is the power of the Beit Din. That Beit Din are able to go into the Tehom, which is the abyss, and they're able to elevate the Mishpat and bring it into action, what has to be done. This is what it means, they take from this and they give to this person. Not like Robin Hood. He didn't have the problem Mishpat, okay?
Robin Hood.
He took from the rich, get the poor. That's not Mishpat, because God gave this rich person the money, and they gave the poor person this money. So he's not doing Mishpat. He's mixing his own das into it, okay? Ze b'china tehom el tom kore. Tehainu shechazer vehotze ha-mishpat shenafal alecha. He returned the mishpat that fell to him, the haino mamon shel amalve harishon, the money of the original lender, amagiyalo, that he is deserving of alpi din umishpat tzedek, through din and mishpat, that fell into the love, okay, and then from the love to the second love, which is the falling of the mishpat from one abyss to another abyss. V'abeitin malin umatzin amishpat min atahomot. The beitin are able to elevate the mishpat from the abyss, and they're able to bring the money back to the person who deserves the money according to the Mishpat Tzedek, the true judgment. Liba'alav Arishonim, to the first original owners of the money. As it says, V'natan Asher La'asher Asham Lo She'tzeichin La'amid Mishpat Al Mechono U'la'alot Mishpat M'kotahomo, that a person has to stand the Mishpat to where it should go, and to elevate the Mishpat from the abyss. Ki'ika halva'ot, because the main concept of a person needing loans, nimshachim ibgam nefilat ha-mishpat, comes from the blemish of the falling of Mishpat. Shemisham ikar ha'aniut, from there is the main place of poverty. Al yedei zeh muchachim lelvot echad mechavera, through this a person has to borrow from his friend. Ki pgam ha-mishpat zeh b'chinat ma she'en yodin ha-saga shel tov shel tzadik v'tov lo v'rasha v'lalo. He says like this, the main pgam of the mishpat is that a person doesn't have the understanding of a tzadik v'tov lo and rasha v'lalo. V'inyan zeh nimshach misar gilgulei neshamas. This concept comes from the gilgulim, how do you say it again? Reincarnations of souls. As the Zohar says, zeh b'chinat זה שאמרו רבי אליעזר בן פדת, אי בית דאי חרוב אלמא, ואפשר דאי עברית ושייטה בזונה. Okay, this Gemara in Masechet Tainit tells the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Perat. What does he say? It's a story we learned one time before Yudal, the Gemara brings it down. He was really, really poor. He had no money for food. And then, those times people did bloodletting for health reasons. So he did a bloodletting. And then he was like so hungry after he did it, he just like started crying. And as he was crying, he like eventually like fell asleep crying. And then in his dream, he started laughing. And then the sages came and they said, what happened in your dream? And you know the story?
Yeah.
So from what I remember, and he told them that, what do you remember what they said when he woke up? That's why I brought this book up.
He said he
bloodlet and he didn't have anything to eat, and he became very weak, And it pained him so much that he cried on his poverty and he fell asleep.
A spark came out of his
nose. Yeah, the Chachamim saw him, that he's sleeping. In the middle of his sleep, he started crying and then laughing. So when he woke up, they asked him on this, and he said to them that Hashem appeared to him. And he said, Eliezer bini, if you want that I should destroy the whole world and create it from you, and then maybe I'll be able to create you in a time where your muzzle will shine for Parnassa and you're going to be rich.
But
that's the story.
No guarantee that it's
going
to happen.
No guarantee. So what's going on? So in this, okay, we're gonna see, because Hashem appeared to him. So it's like you got a revelation of Hashem in his dream. So we're gonna see now from the other story here that's also here. We're gonna explain what's going on. Ita b'tikunim shezis soda Gilgul. Tikun Ezor says this is the Gilgul. Why? This is the secret of Gilgulim. Shitka gel b'guf acher shu b'chinat olam acher. That it's a person reincarnating to another body. That's another world. Nimtza sheikar chesron parnasa vaniut val va'ot urak mitzad Gilgul shu b'chinat galgal shechozer b'olam. It says the main lack of parnasa and poverty and loans is just through because of the Gilgul to reincarnations, which is the galgal, the orbits that are going around the world, as it says on the story of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. It says galgala hu dahadar. Okay, let me just tell you the story quickly. We learned this a while ago. Rabba Bar Bar Chana was hanging out in the Holy Land, and then this socher, this merchant, came with him and he said, do you want to see a place where the heavens and earth kiss? He said, sure. So they went and they saw the heavens and earth kissing. Okay, and then, okay, so the heavens and earth kissing. I mean, it's touching. It's like touching. Remember the story? No. And then he said, what happened after that? Hold on. It's over here also. Yeah, so come see the place where heavens are kissing. Meaning when the heavens are touch, okay? And then he saw it. And then once he saw it, and then the windows appeared. Okay? And then he had to... he had to pray mincha, so he put his basket of bread in the window, okay? Yeah. One of the windows. Well, just leave it here for my prayer of mincha. It's probably safe, okay?
Just random windows? Like
windows started appearing.
In the sky?
In the sky, right? Yeah, in the sky.
So he's like, oh, here,
he didn't have any place to put it down. Just put it in this window, okay? So after he finished praying, he didn't find his basket. Okay? Someone. So what does he say? He said to the merchant, are there robbers here? He said, no. The reason why you can't find your basket is because of the rakia, the orbits that are spinning around. And wait until tomorrow, and you're going to find your basket here. Just come back at the same time. Tomorrow, get your basket. Okay, the explanation of the story, as in this Torah, explains that heaven and earth meeting or kissing when they're together means a person's soul and his body are united. And when a person's soul and body are united properly, because it says that sins go on the bones, when a person fixes that, then his body can unite with his soul properly and he could be one. Then he has Yiras Hashem, and when a person has Yiras Hashem through the Shlemus that he has in his soul and body connection, then he's able to pray properly. And the prayer opened the windows that started appearing. So when the heavens and earth connect, now the windows start appearing. So then, what did he... So he said, I'm going to take all the things in the physical world, the parnasa-related things, my bread basket, and I'm going to put it in the windows. By doing that, he's saying that all the physical things are dependent upon spiritual things. So if I just purely work on the spiritual aspects, then all the physical things will be fixed automatically. So this is where he took his physical things and he put it in the window that's in the heaven. So he put it all in the spiritual. So when he's praying, Shemona Asrei, when he's saying Baruch Aleinu, he's not thinking about money, he's thinking about spiritual sustenance. When he's saying Rafa'inu, he's thinking about spiritual health. He said, I just want to fix my soul. And then he basically, his Hava Mina is that by fixing your soul, the body's going to automatically be fixed as well, and all the things that need to come to you are going to be fixed.
Are those personal prayers? Bring us to spiritual state.
It's in Shulchan Aruch. Why is it written like that? If ain't new, as opposed to single, why? I forget what it says, but it explains that in Shulchan Aruch on that prayer. So in the end, basically, that's the same thing that we see of Rabbi Padat over here, that he's saying, he also did the same thing. He said, I'm just going to work on my soul, and then hopefully everything else will be okay. And it didn't work out for him. Because he still was, he cried himself to sleep because he was so hungry. So the answer is that it all has to do with Gilgul Neshamas, that Hashem is saying that all your efforts, they didn't go to waste. It could be, let's say, for example, the next generation could have unbelievable chef in the world because of your prayers. But for me to give you that, I have to destroy the world and create it from you. So you can't just change. That's what it says over there. So that's what it's all about, the Gilgul Neshama. It also could be in the next world. Every situation is different. So, Shei Gilgul Nishmatin Shemisham Nimshach Tzadik V'tov V'tzadik V'ralo Rasha V'tovlo Rasha V'ralo. So this concept of knowing who you are and what you get in this world, it all has to do with the Gilgul Neshama. Sha'al Yedeze Mukhrach Shei Aniyut V'alvat Balam. Through this, it causes that there must be poverty and loans in the world. V'kol ha'kfirot Shebein Adam L'chevero Shahub, Gama Mishpat, all the kfira means, literally means like heresy, but you can have between people. When you lie, it's a certain form of kfira. So let's say a person wants to steal money from his friend who's went yesterday. It's a Gama Mishpat, it's a blemishing of the Mishpat. You're taking it not according to the law, not according to being allowed to do it. Zenim Shah Gamken, Misod Gilgal Neshamas. This also comes from the Gilgal Neshamas, Kimashe Echad. Why does a person desire someone else's things, that he wants to steal for their things, whether in action or in thought, as done yesterday? Why do you want that? Because you have some type of connection to that other thing because of the Gilgul. Let's say you want the person's certain amount of money, or you want a person's item, and it could be in your past life he owes you that money, so now you want it in this life.
That also show a lack of faith.
That what?
That you want that other person.
Well, you can't control that desire. Sometimes you say like, and you just like, sometimes it's beyond your ability to. Like, you want to obviously do as your best. You're not allowed to express this in Torah.
Why don't you want the money, but why don't you ask his money?
Because it could be he owes you money from the past life. That's what we're saying, and that's where you want his money. But for you to take it is not according to the deen. But Hashem will arrange matters.
Why? But ultimately, you want the money. You don't care that it's his money.
No, you want his money.
So you want him. You want him to go down and to duck.
Not necessarily. He's driving this car. You want that car. You can't explain it to him. You just want this car. Wow, I really like that car.
But you don't have enough faith.
But your other friend who has the same car, different color, you don't want it.
No, but you don't have enough faith that Hashem could provide an identical car.
He could. But the original desire still is there.
You want that one.
It's an essential.
But it's a used car. He's already driven.
Doesn't matter. It's an essential choice from your soul that wants that thing, and there's no explanation for it. Now, for you to act on it is against the Torah. For you to even act on it in your desire and grow desire is against the Torah. But that original desire could be there, and that could be indication that something happened in the past. Gilgulim. Hanu milvei shana b'sod gil. It could be a previous loan. Okay. All the person's desires that he has, I want this, I want that. In their source, they're very high, holy things. But when they come down, they become physical. But the main principle is that you're not allowed to take in something before its time. All the sins are that. Take it before its time. Before the time. It's all here, before the time, yeah.
But now with Yosef, there was no time.
Which sin?
With Yosef.
Which sin?
It wasn't about time. With Potiphar,
he never said.
He didn't do a sin with her.
He never said. He's Yosef and Sadek.
He
withheld. That's why he's called
Sadek. Yeah, because of that.
He never said.
Ikar kol satim pagamim nishkodim mash. All the sins come from when a person takes something faster before its time, and he doesn't overpower his taiva to wait until he's allowed to have it beheter. When he's allowed to have it, as the sages say, "Bishimcha yikaru bikomcha yeshivun mishalcha yitnu lacha." Okay, meaning in your name they'll call, in the place they will return it, and from you, whatever is yours, they'll give to you. Alken, which means whatever is meant to be yours, will come in a way that is mutar for you to have it. And don't take it when it's not the right time. That's the main sin.
If someone has a desire for Chazar, would they get away from Mashiach?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's a lot of life.
Oh, we're going to see. Look what he says even further here. Ready? Look what he says. Al ken ikar chet harishon. The first sin is the sin of Adam Rishon. That he didn't wait in a zivug until Shabbos. Therefore, all the sins are called boser, which is a fruit that's not finished to be ripened yet. As the pasuk says, avot yochlu boser. That's what all the sins are called. Ki ikar chet. The main cause of sins is that a person takes something before its time.
And that's the idea of
oralized
too. It's
matakin. Yeah, exactly. Ikar et lasig tam hatov amiti. He says the main time and the main moment when a person is going to take the true good and to grasp the true good, it's only when Mashiach comes. And it says, "Va'ashrei mi shemamtin v'mitapek al ta'avato kol yomei olam hazeh." Praiseworthy is the one who waits and is satisfied with his taiva, is not going overboard all the days of his life. V'sotem einav mechezu d'hai alman, and closes eyes from the things of this world. Legamre fully, umamtin l'tov v'nitzrin, waits for the ultimate good, as the sages say in the Tanakh. It says, "Lechu chaku li leyom kumi laad," wait for me until the day, and then you're going to get up forever. Ki bevada yiske l'tanug amiti, because then when that happens, we're going to get the true pleasure and the eternal pleasure. Aval gam ba'olam hazeh shvadim she'ikar isur hu masha eino mamtin. Even in this world, we have things that the main reason why it's us is because you don't wait. V'im yamtin ad bo ito, and if you waited until you could have it, you're able to have it in a mutar way, beheter. As the sages say, otan matzaot sheitzia lav isur tzila beheter. I don't really know what it's saying there, but it's basically something that at one point was usur, it's eventually going to be mutar. Okay, now klal, the main rule is like this, ki ikar kol chabal davar, the main power of the sitra achra that wants to push you to have a certain taiva, a certain thing, urak mechamat sheyesh leze haadam ezeh shaychus leze ha'inyan kefi shoresh neshamos. It's only because you have a connection to this thing and the source of your soul. That's, they're not going to push you for something that you're not connected to. Meaning something that you're going to receive at a later time, or even when Mashiach comes, and you have a very strong connection to it, at the source of your soul. So the Baal Dava starts pushing you towards that thing now. That's the mistake. But now a person has to fight his taiva until the time comes. Or a person could come his time in this world, and then he can receive it in a mutar way in this world. His or a person might not only receive this in the future world. He's going to stand in the test, and he's going to break his taivas now, and through that he's going to get in the future world this tainuk from the shorash of tainuk and the spiritual sources. You're going to get like I was talking to Menachem Mendel before about this. He's talking about, you think we have real love in this world. You feel love from the higher world, it's completely beyond anything you experience now. So a person, he has a desire for his thing. It's not as much as you think it's going to satisfy you, it's not really what you want. You really want the spiritual aspect. That's really what you want. It's a spiritual thing. And that's much beyond everything you can experience. Yes?
I just want to balance like what to know, like what Hashem wants for them versus what exactly the Torah says versus what they want versus what their community, or sometimes, you know, if say like a tyrant is like somebody's in North Korea, like they could say like they want freedom, but maybe Hashem doesn't want it for them. Like how do you balance like knowing like what, like, yeah, how do you know like what desires are you know, are yours versus what Hashem wants for you?
Well, you have to follow Shulchan Aruch at the end of the day. Like, if someone has a desire for something that's never going to be allowed, then he shouldn't have the desire.
Anything's within Shulchan Aruch, then they're allowed?
Yeah, just Shulchan Aruch. You have to just know the Shulchan Aruch, and then you're going to get clear on what's inside, and what you want.
Okay.
There's that thing in the Gemara, if someone's born under the blood moon, they have a leniency towards either violence
or bloodshed.
So they should take the energy is there.
Yeah, doctor
so
or more.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Shock it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So in this context, so. So if there is this spiritual goal, and there, even though the tiger might come in whatever form, it might seem like, oh, this is terrible, this is whatever it is, there's actually a spiritual principle behind that.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of a spice.
The question is, how do you know what is the right channel for.
Meaning, you can't do anything that's usher to do. So now, within the things that are mutar, what should you do with that a certain energy that you have? Sometimes you have to try out different things until you find the right channel and it feels that it's satisfying.
Are there any examples? I mean, because the Gemara gives those examples in that. Are there any more examples?
Well, the Gemara talks about each day, right? Sunday you're going to be a leader. Monday you're going to be divided on things.
Is this the same concept here or is this a different principle?
It's similar. It's similar because the source of your soul comes from that energy. Therefore, you're going to have a person's going to have a desire to lead if he's born on Sunday. So there's a way to lead that's proper, and there's a way to lead that's just completely sitra acha because he wants his own honor.
In those cases, it's this world. He's saying here, it might be for the next world, but how many people really hold on to it?
So,
very
you have to, well, if you want the truth, you have to do it.
Yeah, but a person who's on the level where they're really consciously thinking about the higher worlds, they're not really going to have that many types. So
no, but it could come up, it could come up. Types could come up.
No, I'm saying chances are if there are these tithes that are coming up,
it could also be higher level tithes. It could be higher level tithes. Even hearing the music, it's a very big tithe, right? Because it feels really good to hear music. But to compare it to music you're going to hear in the next world, no comparison to what music is and the true sense of what music is.
But how many people have a relationship with that? How many people have gone up and come back and say, oh wow, the music here is much better?
Well, a person can open himself up to his soul and then experience it on a deeper level.
But you're still experiencing it in this world.
But you're receiving it from the higher world.
Okay, everything's receiving from
the higher world. No, sometimes there are things of this world more.
What, like an example?
Steak.
See, you're saying
Adam and Rishon got steak from the angels in Gan Eden.
This world?
No, they made steak in the heaven and gave it to him.
Wait, so he's... Wait,
you're not the chef, Mikhail.
Are certain things more enjoyable in this world than the other world?
No, nothing's as enjoyable as in the higher world, in this world. But if you draw stuff from the higher world and experience it here, that's the Deir V'Tachtonim, that's all this different stuff. Bringing Hashem to this world, the Ikar Shechina can only be in this world. So therefore, the main thing is to take those higher things, but make the Kalim for them in this world so you could experience them properly.
But that concept, you're saying, well, we're going to enjoy more things up there, but God wants to be here.
No, not up... Next world means this world when Mashiach comes.
Well, Shabbos.
Shabbos is an example of it. It's a taste of it. Shabbos is a taste of it.
You have to drive into this world.
Right.
The more you work Erev Shabbos, the more you experience the Shabbos.
But not what's here already, but what we can put into this world.
I don't know where it came from, but I heard a pasuk, Hagam's pasuk, I think. He said, it's not that Shabbos is Ma'ein Olaba.
Oh, how's
that?
All of Habba's Ma'in Shabbos. All of Habba's Ma'in Shabbos.
Ma'in Shabbos, yes. Ma'in Shabbos. That's it. All of Habba's Ma'in Shabbos.
I hear you. Because we could actually eat physical things and they're completely spiritual. No one could do that in any world.
That's going to be delicious.
No one could do that.
What?
No other world can you eat physical food that's fully spiritual like you do on Shabbos in this world. Can't do that. Can't do that Yetzirah, can't do that Bria.
But they had man during the week.
Yeah, every day was Shabbos. Every day was Shabbos. Every day was Shabbos. Like that.
Every day was Shabbos.
They didn't have to wash their clothes.
Every day was Shabbos for them, but they could. Then why did they need to collect two on Shabbat? They should collect four then.
What do you mean? No, you only get what you need. You only get what you need.
Every day is not Shabbos.
No, because you can't do chutzah on Shabbos.
Like the aspect
you can't do carrying on Shabbos. Therefore, they brought it before Shabbos. There was a every day was a bechina of Shabbos. It wasn't actually Shabbos. But they lived in such a way that life was just purely spiritual. Don't have to wash the clothes. They grew on you. You don't have to go to work. If you work on your soul more, the food shows up in front of your door. Now, there is looking at halachas in Hilchos Shabbos Hey, where it talks about how to get there. Now, it's actually a really amazing halacha. It talks about basically like when Adam ate from the tree, the Zuhama came to the world.
Zuhama?
Zuhama, like the disgustingness of the snake. And then it caused you to have... The poison. So it caused you to have to do 39 malachas to to get what you need in this world. And, when you eat through the malachas, you eat in sadness, as it says in the pasuk. It's a sweat for it. It's a curse that came into the world. But a person can reverse the curse. And how he says over there, basically, is the way to reverse the curse is by knowing Hashem and everything you're doing. And basically, the sages gave you brachas to say on certain foods, but you don't have brachas on every single thing. So he says basically to acknowledge Hashem in everything that you have. Let's see, you stay on this chair, thank Hashem for this chair. Everything you're doing, you're thanking Hashem for it. That is mevarer, the zuamat of the nachash. And also learn halachas does the same thing. And when you do that more and more, and you basically, you're in a state of thanking Hashem and knowing Hashem's great name and making Him known, then you move out to all the zuamat of nachash, and you don't have to do the term halachas. It's done for you. So that's how you beat the curse. It's the best, come on, it's the best. It's the best situation to
reverse that curse.
So once the 39 brothers don't become a burden, then they become all opportunity.
Well, they're going to be done for you. I'm going to have to do them. Because it says if Adam Rishon didn't sin, then he would just say, he needs this, he needs a shirt, he prays for it, and there's a tiny little action that comes down. So that's the person who can get to a certain level of that. Now, if he starts recognizing Hashem and everything, and we're working on Simcha, all the things the Torah says to do, if you start living like that in a real way, then you move back into the curse, little by little.
What's that called, at that level? Yeah.
What's it called? Gula?
No,
that's when you... Well, that's when you do the physical things, knowing Hashem within the physical. But then you get to a... It's like you're living in Gula. It's like a personal Gula when you live like that.
So did that experience where at that level where it's whatever you need to take the action that comes, what about the people who had to pray and do an action like the circle rain guy?
Oh, so I have it here. I actually have that mimer here. It talks about that question. We're going to learn that next. It's different. It talks with Choni Amagel and Rabbi Shimon. They both prayed for rain, but Choni had to do a whole thing. Rabbi Shimon just drew it down. So after this, if we have time today, if not tomorrow, we're going to do a mimer on that. What's different to them? why do they have such differences?
And no, because didn't we say, I don't know if it was this year, but a while back we said, it's not always a good thing to bring down those strong things.
So you have rains of that are too strong, it's going to cause harm.
Meaning that, okay, there's a famine, like for example, there was a famine in Eretz, at the time, Canaan.
Yeah.
Abraham was at that level, he could have prayed, but he was meant to go to Egypt. Yaakov, he could just pray for her
But prayer is not guaranteed. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but it could be forced in the case of Moshe.
Rabbi Shimon was the one who through his prayer, it for sure came down without question. And we're gonna see how
through
he did it.
Well,
through his Torah uniting with his tefillah, he did only Rabbi Shimon is a special thing that he did that he's able to do that. But everyone else had to do a lot of inner work in their tefillah to arouse themselves below, to draw down from above. But Rabbi Shimon didn't have to do that. He said, Hina matov, shevet achim gam yachad, and then the rain came down. So we're going to see next moment of that. Okay, so... so in the next world, which means Mashiach, a person's going to get the pleasure that's from the shorash of his soul. And that pleasure is really the spiritual version of that pleasure, which is an or tzach u'metzuch tzach. It's a clean light. Tzach is like a pure, clean, bright light. Tainug ruchani, tainug amiti, spiritual pleasure, that's true pleasure. And that's what it says, lo ta'ashok et re'echa, re'echa da'ika, v'chen lo tachmod beit re'echa. It says, don't desire the house of your re'echa. What's re'echa? Your friend. Why does Torah say friend? Why does it say lo tachmod, everybody's house? Don't covet everyone you know's house.
Because you're not going to see everybody. You see your friend all the time.
Okay, but people travel. When you travel, you're like, whoa, look at this, look at that. So I'd say, don't covet every house that you desire. It says, don't covet your friend's house. Why?
It's more
a time
than for your friend.
Everyone has a desire for his friend's house. Why? Because the reason why he's his friend is because that they have their similar soul root. And their levels of Gilgul Neshamas. And since the Gilgul Rishon, Hayazeh HaMamon Shalot, this was his money, okay? For example, since it was originally his, and now he sees his friend has it, now he desires it. So he says, even though it's true that actually belongs to you in your previous life, you have to stop that desire.
That's
all now.
If you have a chemda for it?
That shows at a certain level that you have a shaykh, so that it could be in previous lives that was actually yours.
Applies to a man's wife.
Like crazy, yeah. It means it also shorish neshama, because according to the Torah, you're allowed to have more than one life. Until okay, that's so a person could still have desires, but now you're not allowed doing it. So therefore, the Torah says lo tachmod, don't desire. You have to stop that desire and wait. So they say you could sum the whole Torah up with one word. It's hamtan. Wait.
But I thought, don't you always say that in India they have that hod of the waiting is not a good thing?
That's the clip of hod, because it's too much waiting.
Oh, so what's the other side of that?
There's in Ketusha you have netzach and hod. That's why it says kosher animal, the signs are a split hoof and chewing its cud. A split hoof means a balance between the midos. You have netzach, you have hod. You have chesed, you have gvura. And then through the balance of the midos, then it goes to the throat, which is the concept of the Shekhinah going to a person's throat. The person gets like a Ruach Kodesh, is able to do tefillah, all these different things come from the balance of the midos. But the nations, they always had an unbalanced midos. That's why India is called Hodu, because it's the clip of Hod. Because it's the essence of waiting. There's no levels of Hishtalshus.
And what does that actually look like?
Of Hishtalshus. It looks like if... This is a story that actually happened. There was a girl that came to Israel for like a gap year program, and she went to like one class, and then the rabbi was talking about the halacha of returning a lost object, and she was like, okay, it's nice, but it's a little bit boring. I want to go do something more spiritual. So she went to India in the end, and then she was there with the gurus, and everything was so cool and spiritual, and then they were walking with the guru, the group people, and then someone's wallet fell out of their pocket, and then the guru was like, oh, shkacha pratis, must be from God, and they took it. And then she realized you have to return the lost object, so she came back to Israel after that. Okay, that's the difference.
She was the lost object.
There we go.
And so what would be the example on the other side of that, where it's actually happening?
Well, you have to return it. That's a netzach. Sometimes you can't do anything. Sometimes you can't do anything about a certain situation. So the answer is to not do anything about it.
Aaron, he was silent.
That's part of it.
Today's
hod. Chesed hod.
Sometimes he was told to be silent.
Yeah, certain cases you can't do anything. So you have to wait and pray. But also, the whole chiddush we see in Torah Bet here, that actual prayer is actually a form of netzach. It's actually an action. Prayer is an action you can do. It's actually part of netzach, not part of hod.
Totally.
It's a big chiddush.
Physical action
is prayer. That's a physical action.
Vocal action.
Because when we learn, when he says something, then it starts coming in the physical world, right? So it's a form of action.
Action.
Yeah. But waiting is hard, okay? Sometimes you have to wait. You can't do anything. You have to wait. So patience. Okay, so. What? Sablanut. All time Israel. You need sablanut. Because why? Because it says in Israel, the Erech HaPaim is revealed more than every other place in the world. Patience is revealed in Israel the most. So you learn patience here. You have to always have patience.
Moshe starts to pray at the sea, and he goes up, and God says, what are you doing? Stop praying.
That's because that case, they have to do netzach, and have to continue going. Every case is different. What are you supposed to do?
So it was like, how are you
supposed to know? How are you supposed to know? In that moment, it was not necessary. That's what God told him. They also, in that Maimar, we're going to go next, talk about Pinchas ben Yair. He was able to split the sea with his... he said, seas split before me. So it explains that basically his ability to split the sea came from his depth and understanding in Torah. So his, meaning al pi chokhmas Torah, the sea had to split. That's why it split for him. And then Choni Magal was through his Hisa'usa Dilatata, his arousal from below in his prayers. That's what in his circle, that's what he caused the rain to come down. But Rabbi Shimon, it was just a pasuk and then it came down.
So what is that?
Because for Rabbi Shimon, the tachton and the alien were one for him. He didn't have to go from the bottom up. There was one thing connected. He was always drawing from the source. Because it says basically, before Mashiach comes, we're always having Ratz of Ashov, which is going and returning, which means elevation and falling down. And a person always has to go between these states. But when Mashiach comes, it says you're at the level of Mati Velo Mati, which means a person's in an elevated state, where he's almost grasping the Orient Sof, and the only way to grasp it is by like allowing, like pushing to get it in and allowing it to come in. You have to always go between those two states. It's like a new type of way that Rabbi Shimon was already at that level, so he was already able to grasp the highest level lights. So when he learned Torah, it was different than all the other Tanaim. They learned it in a way that they had to elevate physical things, and like what we're doing in Halacha, figure out the thing, and then eventually know. But Rabbi Shimon saw from the source and was able to unite them at the same time.
Was he born that way, or is it something his style of learning?
His soul level was one of the few Yechidei Doros that ever existed in the world. So therefore, he was meant to. He was just on a higher level spiritually.
What is that soul level for him?
He was the Yechidei Dora for his generation. Means the single special soul of his generation. He was the highest soul generation.
And that was Moshe.
Moshe
Abraham.
Before that. No, Abraham. Moshe.
Moshe.
Then Rabbi
Noah.
Shimon. No, from Moshe they went all the way to Rabbi Shimon.
Oh, so there's nothing before
because
Moshe?
No, the thing is that what did each one do? They brought a new path in Torah. Rabbi Shimon brought a whole new path. Zohar is a whole new thing.
Abraham,
no one sees it.
Abraham.
No, but he brought it that became brought it to the world that he had the segula to bring it to the world that everyone could follow that. Abraham
Moshe.
Didn't do that. We don't have Abraham's farm. We don't have his. But
so
Moshe brought the Chumash. Moshe brought the Chumash. He told us how to do the mitzvahs.
So it's
in
Torah.
Rabbi Shimon brought the Zohar, and then after was the Arizal.
Let's say for you here.
It wasn't it's not a path in a Avodas Hashem, Sefer necessarily. I mean, you have meditations there, but then it wasn't like a new path in Avodas Hashem that everyone had to follow. And if they didn't follow, they'd be spiritually lost. That's what, like, when Rabbi Shimon came out, and he said, only 1,000 years after he died, they found Zohar. People didn't know about it. And like, what's going on? Rabbi Shimon, this is different than all everyone else we saw. He had the Zohar, and then people realized it. And then everyone goes, everyone's affected by the Zohar in this generation.
Yeah.
And everyone's affected by the Arizal. And everyone's affected by the Baal Shem Tov. Everyone is. You can't have a Jew that's not affected by Baal Shem Tov today.
If Moshe had that whole experience with the seeing Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was
yeah.
there, where's Rabbi Shimon in that?
So Rabbi Shimon was a student of Rabbi Akiva.
But Moshe, whether it happened, not having a drushin, whatever it is, the Gemara specifically says relates those two people.
Yeah, because it was the teacher and student in a spiritual level.
So Moshe wanted to be a student of Rabbi Akiva, so he reincarnated into Rabbi Shimon.
Because the student has a higher shores than the teacher. The teacher is shining to him.
It almost seems like we're making Rabbi Shimon like almost like a this like angel type.
He said the Pnei Shri saw the face of Hashem.
Yeah.
He's talking about him. There's so many praises of Rabbi Shimon that they praised him like, just like we praise Hashem, the sages praised Rabbi Shimon.
The sages praised
Yeah. Him. Because in order to draw down his Shefa to the world, the only way to reach him was praising him.
What's his Gilgul energy?
Mashiach.
Yeah, but Moshe or beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know all the details of people's souls, you know what I'm saying? But it's at the level of the soul of Moshe. It goes in every generation, and there's one that's a general soul, and he was the general soul of that generation.
So with Moshe, we say that he sinned. We said, Rabbi Shimon, when he first came out of the cave, had to go back.
Yeah, because he looked at him, he said, what are you wasting your life cutting your grass? It's just, okay, so the fact that a person has a taiva and a chemda for this house, or this money, because it's friend's money, but the truth is, the Torah says, you can't do it. You can't touch what your friend has. Even though he's your friend and the source of your soul, and you could have been the past Gilgul and you own that house, now he has that house. What's his problem? He took my house, okay? Can't take it. Torah says, can't take it. This, nonetheless, this is Mishpat Lelukim. This is Hashem's Mishpat. Because Hashem knows the deep things, how to move around objects, how to move around money for each generation. You're not allowed messing that up. God already decided what's going to be for who. And even to desire it is an Isser Chamor, is a strong Isser. We have to believe in Hashem because His ways are straight to receive the Mishpat with Ava and to be happy in a person's lot in which Hashem gave him. Okay, let's just, one more paragraph, we'll finish it off. So the main concept of the stealing and the kfira, that a person wants to take a person's money, is because of kilkul mishpat. His judgment is off. Because why is a person's judgment off? Because he doesn't believe that Hashem's ways are straight. You say, God, it's not fair. Therefore, I should have this. I should have that. It's not fair what you did. The person thinks that. So now his judgment goes off. Because he can't, okay? Because it says, he doesn't believe in Hashem's ways, because it's too beyond him, and he can't understand them. Behainu, the fact that a tzaddik has tovlo, and a tzaddik has ralo. Everyone's in different situations where it applies, and doesn't make sense to you how you can have such a thing. And this is the sort of the gilgulei and the shamos that comes the poverty and the loans and all the tests of desires and taivas. So the main tikkun to fix all this is tmimus. Throw away all your chokhmas. And through that, you're able to do a tikkun of mishpat and to fix everything. It's because you have to conduct yourself only with tmimus. According to the Torah, that's called mishpat, as it says tikkun ha-mishpat. So therefore, when the love, when the borrower steals the money, okay, zibuchinat pekama mishpat, and he doesn't pay it back, it's pekama mishpat. And the beitin that does the mishpat, and they go and search for the properties of the love to take it back to the malve, the tikkun ha-mishpat, they're fixing the mishpat that fell into the abyss. Even from the people that he bought the house, people that bought the house from them, he could go and return it back to him. Okay, they're able to take it from one to another, which is tehomel tohem kore. They take the mishpat from one person to another, from all the places that it fell, and they're able to stand up the mishpat. Amen v'amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Hazak.